Well, what an amazing bit of timing that we hadn't planned, that we should come to Hebrews 12 with this brilliant athletic imagery on the day when the Olympics close, and what a magnificent fortnight it's been in this country. And I want to concentrate on that part of the chapter, really, because it's a chapter that's very rich in teaching, but want to concentrate on mainly on the beginning of the chapter with this wonderful description of the Christian race. I want to suggest to you that the chapter really deals with three big themes: running, looking, and remembering. First, it's about running. And of course, athletic and sports imagery is really quite prominent in the New Testament letters. There isn't time to develop that now, but that is so. And many of you will know that there are great New Testament references about the games and so on, which were a very real feature of the ancient world. And it was, as you know, way back in the history of classical Greece. And it passed over, of course, though it was very rich and very real in the first century. So here's the gifted writer of this marvellous letter using this imagery for people, remember, who were in danger of giving up. And that's what Hebrews is all about. It's people who are having a tough time, as I understand it. Jewish Christians are having more than a buffeting. Some of them had their homes plundered, as you know, from chapter 10. And as we'll discover from chapter 13, some of them put in prison for their faith. And this chapter has told us that however difficult it was for some of them, you've not yet resisted to blood. Tim read that to us only a few moments ago. It hasn't actually cost anybody in this church to which the letter is addressed. It hasn't actually cost them their life, not yet. But there is a danger of dropping out, giving up. Chapter 10 puts it, casting away or throwing away your confidence, dropping out in the race. Oh, it's very, very vivid imagery. And I want us to think about it this morning, especially as we look at this marvellous chapter. And the first thing about it is about running. And he says, therefore, since we're surrounded, he pictures a kind of stadium. And it's just like the Olympic stadium. Since we're surrounded in chapter 11 by such a great cloud, a terrific host of witnesses, there are people who have run the race before us. They're the people who are the spectators. They're the people who are in the stands. My guess is that of all the many, many thousands of people who've sat in those stands at the Olympic Stadium, there'll be some of them will be great runners. Terrific at running and racing. But there'll be crowds like me who've done nothing more than run for a bus. So, you know, they're not people who've natural experience of all the skills that are necessary and the demands and the discipline for running. But in this stadium that we're reading about here, the witnesses are the people in chapter 11 and thousands upon thousands more who can witness to the fact that God has been good to them. The Lord has helped them in the race. The Lord has kept them as they've been running in life. And that the life's race is not a sprint, that's for sure. It's a marathon. We've got to keep on running. And so it says, seeing you are surrounded by this great cloud of witnesses, this wonderful audience, this crowd of spectators, let's run with perseverance the race that is set before us. And that's quite emphatic in the verse. Since we are surrounded, that's the emphatic word in the structure of the verse. In other words, by all means, look at them for inspiration, but don't keep your eyes on them all the time. I mean, you can't imagine anybody in a race, running a race, and thinking, is that David Cameron? You know, it's just not part of running. You've got your mind on something else than the spectators. The spectators are there to inspire you. All of these competitors in the games have talked about the thrill of being supported by the crowd. There's hardly any of them who haven't said it's just wonderful to hear the crowd and to hear them cheering on. And that was tremendous last night with Mo running that race and that terrific crowd and people on their tiptoes wanting him to win and shouting and cheering and screaming with great joy when he does win. Now that's the kind of picture. But don't keep your eye on the crowd. Don't keep your eye on the other competitors. I mean, you won't win the race if you're going to spend all your time looking at all the people who are racing with you. Don't even in this race only look at yourself and think to yourself, I don't think I've got the skill to do this, actually. I don't think I can do it. There was an interlude in part of the games where I found it very fascinating about the psychology of running, really, and how it is a lot to do with the mind. I thought one of the saddest aspects of it was to hear Jonathan Edwards actually say that, well, I've lost my faith, he said, but when I did have my faith, it provided me with a focus. And I thought that was terribly sad. We ought to pray for him. Pray a lot for him, that whatever caused him to drop out of this race of faith, that he'll understand that the secret in this race is not looking at other people and not even looking at himself, but looking to Jesus. So what this is saying to us is, first, run with gratitude, great gratitude for all those who have gone before. And really thank God for that. That's why I'm passionate about church history and why I'm passionate about the Bible. The Bible invites you to look back into the past, and that's what Hebrews 11 is all about. I'm not running the race for the first time. I'm so grateful for that. I'm not the only competitor in the race. I'm not the only person who has run the race. But there is a race that's set before me. That's what this verse says. Run with endurance, the race that's set before you, the race that's set before you and the race that's set before me isn't exactly the same, actually. I mean, I've got different temptations to the temptations you've got. You've got different ones to mine. We're all different. Constitutionally, we're different. Temperamentally, we're different. By experience, we're different. Some of the pressures that you might feel, I'm not thinking about them at all. There are times when in my life, once or twice, when I've shared some really huge thing with somebody, very special to me, and shared my trouble, and they said, well, I wouldn't worry about that if I were you. I said, well, yeah, but you're not me. That's the whole point, isn't it? We're all so different. So this is the race that's set before us. Run with gratitude for what God has done for others and recognize that what he's done for them, he can do for you, whatever your need and my need may be. Run with gratitude. Run with determination. And what's the determination? What is your determination? What have you made up your mind that you're going to do as you're on the race? Well, lay aside every weight and the sin that easily besets us. In other words, you can't run this race if you're encumbered and weighed down with other things. John Bunyan, during his lifetime, you know, he spent 12 years in prison in the 17th century. He wrote a lovely book called The Heavenly Footman. And he picks up this imagery of the race and running. And he said, you can't run, said Bunyan, with a heavy cloak and a heavy garment about you and with heavy stones in your pockets. And this lovely phrase, great lumpish shoes. You know, you must have the right equipment. And we must understand that there are some things that are quite good in themselves, maybe, but they're not good if you're a runner. They're not they're not necessarily wicked things or evil things. They're just distracting things. It's like that in the Christian life, actually. There are some things that you can't say they're bad things at all. They're not the sin which easily entangles you. We all know about that. There are some things that are weights. You can't say they're evil, but you'd be a better Christian without doing that or thinking that or doing this or doing that. They're weights in the race. They're like stones in your pockets, as Bunyan puts it. So run with determination. And of course, we recognise that sin will easily entangle us. It's tough for runners. I've thought about that. There are so many distractions for runners and for athletes generally. All sorts of things that are kind of hazards in the whole sporting thing. Like Tom Daley can quite rightly plead that this flashing photography is distracting. Well, sure it is. But I mean, the people who are taking the photographs are not taking them because they say, I'm going to take this photograph and do all I can to hinder Tom Daley. Of course not. I mean, they admire him. They think he's wonderful. They want a picture of it. But actually, they're making a mess of it. Well, they're told to stop doing it because it's a distraction. It's like that in the Christian life. And it's like that, we've all got that kind of responsibility. There's some things that I might not do because I don't want them to be a hindrance to other people. It's very important. And in running, a whole host of distractions. No, you can easily trip up, you can stumble. You can't quite think how it's happened, but it does happen, you stumble. And it's a great athlete who can pick himself up or pick herself up and then go on running. Or there's something physical that happens to you, and it's hamstrung, and you it's beyond you. You just can't do it. There's an injury. Or there's bunching in the race, where they all sort of get together, and you can be struck by somebody else's spikes. Or in other old games, you can inadvertently maybe break the rules. You don't hand over the baton in the relay race in the way that you're supposed to. You're disqualified. So there are all sorts of hindrances. And without pressing it too far, the imagery, it's brilliant imagery, actually. We're all in the race. There's a lot to if we're running the race and we've given our lives to Jesus and we want to be at our best for him, we've only got this one little life to do it. And if you stumble in the race, you can get up and keep on running. So run with gratitude that you're not the only runner and the Lord's been good to all those who have run across the centuries. And run with determination and run with perseverance. That's what it says. Run with perseverance the race that is set before us.
We apologise, but some of the recording is missing here.
And the second thing is, the name means saviour, doesn't it? So it's not only about his humanity and his sensitivity that he feels for us, but that he's got a power infinitely greater than us. I mean, we can have human friends who really deeply understand us and love us and care for us and feel for us. It couldn't be more so. But they haven't got the power to live within us, and he's got that. So when we look to Jesus, it's looking to someone who understands and someone who empowers us. And as we know, somebody who's with us and accompanies us. So it's about running and it's about looking. And last thing I want to say, it's about remembering, and I'm not going to develop this, but this passage goes on to say, we're not just runners in the race. He changes the imagery, and it's very beautiful about remembering. He says, and in your struggle against sin, you've not yet resisted to the point of shedding blood. There's nobody actually in the church, your local church, who's died for their faith as yet. And You have forgotten the word of encouragement. And he quotes from the book of Proverbs. You've forgotten. You've forgotten something. And what you've forgotten is the tough situations in life, the difficulties in running, the times when you want to give up, when it's tough and when it's difficult and really you don't know where you're going to claim the next bit of energy from. Those tough, difficult experiences in life are the things that really make us. If we had everything that we really wanted, we'd be ghastly people, actually. Be no good to anybody else. These are the things that build character and shape personality and make lovely people the kind of people who are a real blessing to other people. Because the Lord disciplines those he loves. He teaches and he trains. And so we go through experiences sometimes we don't like, but we have to be corrected. I want to finish with a little incident. And I saw it from the front seat of a car parked as I was the driver in the Beehive Centre. And I parked the car and I'm waiting for the shopper. I won't tell you who the shopper was, but I was waiting for the shopper. And so I'm outside this huge and brilliant, I mustn't advertise, but brilliant Hobbies shop. And as I'm sat there, innocently looking and very happily waiting and resting, I see a mother come out with a little child in a pushchair and another little boy. I couldn't guess at his age, but I'd say sort of 6 or 7. He's clutching something. Oh, and he's so pleased he's got it. And he comes outside and he looks and he shows it to his mother and she's horrified because she hasn't bought it. And she says to him, I can't hear what she's saying, but I can guess what she's saying. And what she's really saying to him, you can't have that, we haven't paid for it, we haven't bought it. He starts to cry. So she says, oh, come on, we've got to go back. You can tell. So she goes back into the shop. And by and by, he emerges without the treasured thing, but, oh, screaming and crying and, oh, in a terrible state he is. But she's dragging him along, and I can see that she's saying to him, you mustn't take things that don't belong to you. You mustn't ever do that in a shop. Now, he doesn't like the discipline because he wants the toy. And he thinks that she's terrible to him. She's robbed him of this bit of pleasure. What kind of mother would do that? But she's disciplining him because she knows she doesn't want to bring up a shoplifter. She wants a lovely, honest lad to be growing up. Now, he can't see that. He's still screaming, actually, as they go down. He's creating chaos over it. But it's discipline that's necessary. That's trivial. But it's very meaningful. Because life's like that sometimes. And things happen to us that can shape our lives. If only we'll realise we're not just runners. We're sons and daughters of God. And he's the father of spirits, to use the language of this passage. And the imagery of fatherhood and being sons, bringing many sons to glory, and Jesus being the elder brother, the family imagery in Hebrews is immensely important. So, keep running. Keep looking to Jesus every single day. Keep looking to Jesus. And remember, when it's tough, we're treasured daughters, treasured sons of God.